This is a production of Cornell University.
So, welcome to the second meeting of GPSA. It's September 10th, 5:37, let's say, here in Mallett Hall. Next slide, please. So, first, we'll do an introduction of the voting members. And I primarily want to do another introduction for Jan's benefit, who is our liaison from the graduate school, who will be joining us periodically. So if we can just go on to the next slide, and we'll just go down the list. I know a couple aren't here, but if you could introduce yourself and your area of study, that'd be great. So we can just go down the list. Is Alex here? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm Alex. I'm a sixth-year
That's good. Mia? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mia. I'm a third year and a fourth year PhD student. I'm here at
And Bill is out of town this meeting.
I'm Eric. I'm a third year.
And Jonathan also is in here. Liz?
I'm Liz.
I'm Mitch, president from City and Regional Planning.
I'm Nicole Barron. I'm executive vice president, first year in psychology.
I'm Alex Warren, fourth year in regional planning.
Awesome, thank you very much. Now we'll move on to a presentation from Jan Allen, who just was hired as the Associate Dean for Academic and Student Affairs. Great, welcome, thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. I know that you have a full agenda, lots to do, so I will be very brief. I am Jan Allen. This is my seventh day working in Cornell. I did start all of this piece, so that would be mathematically inclined, and how did that work out? I literally moved to this 12 hours after I left my office at Columbia, where I've been 7 years working in graduate school in the EDC program. And so the dean, after orientation, was already there. Winter arrived here September the 10th, right? 43 degrees in And if you think I'm from the south, I am originally. So this winter will be very exciting. So if you're coming down the road, get out of the box and put it in. So you can get out of the box. I was in the class that just asked me to talk about some of my goals to do during school, because I don't have all of these. I guess vetted by the dean yet, so it's wonderful to tell you what I want to do, and then Wednesday I have a meeting with the dean to actually talk about if and part of what I want to do in this meeting and all my interactions with you, subsequent meetings and conversations and the sidewalk, is to find out what you would like the graduate school to be doing to support you. I mean, one of the things I will admit is I am a very competitive person. And I would like to see our graduate students get even more of them. And some of you are fine. I don't get many of you raised your hand and said you were first or second year students. Anybody applying for NSF graduate fellowship this year? Anybody applying for a Fulbright? You know, I love to look at those numbers when the awards are made, because yes, Cornell students, I don't say it's relative to any other school that we might be competing with. But it's a great thing for your community. It's a great thing for your school and your program, your field budget when you win these outside awards. And in subsequent conversations, I want to find out more about what your faculty and mentors in GI and field are doing, and then what the graduate school can and should be doing and will start to do to help you compete for our external investment. There are some of you who have postdocs in the future. There are things you can be doing now to advance. I want to do even more than what I'm doing in graduate school to help you survive and navigate through graduate school, and it's not simply reducing time to be more efficient in your time here, but being just as successful as you possibly can be. While you're here, and how is this not doing for you? I love doing in Columbia, was doing dissertation boot camp. One of the students showed up the first day and said, "My husband wants to know, you know, why would I be doing this call after Maddie?" And I said, "You know, that never really occurred to me to do that. We just wanted to feed you, support you, help you, and give you a t-shirt saying in Latin, 'I arrived before I finished.'"
Thanks, Jan. Awesome, and now we'll move to the approval of the minutes from last meeting. You all were sent the minutes from last meeting on last Friday. Are there any amendments to those minutes? Vivian? Okay. Is there any objection to changing Yevgeny's name? I certainly hope not. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Was that in the minutes? Okay, so there's no amendment, but I will make note of that for... Yes, thank you. Are there any other amendments to the minutes? I will be sure to make that change. If I'm not at my computer, I'll make that and make sure to post that. Seeing no objection, the minutes are approved. And we'll move on to reports of officers and standing committee. I'm first. Yes? If you want to go to the next slide. So a couple quick things for myself. The Bear's Den is the new pub in Willow Strait Hall, and contrary to what many graduate students think, Willow Strait Hall is also our union too. And we do have the ability to program it on Tuesday nights, I believe. I'm still waiting, to get the details on the programming and what's going to be offered in this pub, but it is open. Again, I don't have the hours. I might leave that to Giovanna and Kristen to find out and report back. The Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Council for the city, it advises the mayor and city councils looking for representatives. They apparently currently don't have any student representatives and would certainly like some. So if you're interested in that, that's outside of our regular committee process. This is just something external that there's an interest in. If you are interested in that, please email me and I will make sure that you get directed towards the right people. I was going to give an update about the ad hoc committee, but given the amount of agenda items we have, I think I'll wait till next time. If you're interested in serving on this, please email us. We'll
probably send out a big email.
Yeah.
About it, and like figuring out a meeting time and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. The long and short of it is I've got quite a few thoughts down on paper for how we can move this forward and kind of timeline developed, so I look forward to presenting that to all of you soon and soliciting some members. And then also at our next meeting, we're going to have representatives from the administration come talk about this new study that's going to be going on this year and that has already been started, this campus space utilization study. And in layman's terms, that's really looking at the office space, meeting space, common space that exists throughout the university and the various departments and fields and units across campus. And they're really trying to see where space is allocated, certain departments are utilizing space most efficiently, and how there might be recommendations to change that if there are certain departments or units that have a lack of space. You know, all these kind of issues they're going to take a look at. It's a comprehensive process, and they want graduate students to get involved because a lot of us, especially the PhD students, have office space, have meeting space, schedule things. So this is going to be an important study for us. And again, they're going to come next time and talk more about it, but I just thought I'd let you all know. And lastly, I've asked Deputy Chief Dave Honan from the Cornell Police to come give us an update about some of the security issues that you probably have seen in your inboxes and in the Daily Sun. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Dave. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. Give you some notes because I just got up last minute, so thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you guys. So excuse me, another few minutes. Again, I'm Dave Holman, Deputy Chief for Operations. So she's not in town today, but she's usually the one who's spotted yet. I'm Dave Holman, the chief. But my responsibilities are investigators and all the police officers you see. You can see officers driving around in cars or with their investigators. That's me. So if you see something wrong with any of them, that's me. Let me know. I want to hear about it. We want to be part of the community, and I want to hope we're not doing the right thing, guys. Again, thank you for inviting me today. The primary sworn law enforcement agency for Cornell is the Cornell University Police. We continue to investigate crimes since September 2nd and continue to partner with other agencies in our various combined resources and intelligence work toward identifying the responsible for these reprehensible acts. We've increased presence for our patrol officers on campus and sent and will continue to send officers to campus in areas where crimes occur to identify potential witnesses and may not have that come forward. We are identifying needs that have been several federal pieces of evidence and as a result of the community and crime alerts, we've been rewarded with much information from our community about these incidents. We continue to ask for anybody who has witnessed these events or has information to come forward and let us know what you know. Our uniform security guard certified escort teams have doubled in number. We extended the available hours. The Blue Escort Service is a program underutilized by faculty, staff, and students alike. Averaging, before this occurred, our average was one escort a night. Teams here for about 7 hours. We expanded that to almost 8 hours. Since the event, due to these crimes, we expanded to about 7 or 8 escorts a night. But we can take out so much more. So we just wanted to plug the use of escorts. The walking escorts that we use on campus and the area near campus. The professionals that staff these escorts also serve as unarmed bystanders and direct rate of contact for campus 911 center. And when they're not escorting, they're checking the security of our buildings, calling the lighting issues, and identifying which security issues need attention. I'm also personally proactive seeking feedback regarding our community needs for the walking escorts, and we'll see if we can get some feedback for any improvements we make in the future. Additionally, we've been working with universities to identify areas where cameras and other types of technology can be used within university policies to enhance our effort to deter crime and obtain visual evidence and investigation crimes. We're looking to see where we gain safety and security without compromising academic freedom. We have an excellent relationship with the student's office. We also have many proactive, creative, and inclusive initiatives to pay attention to student needs. We regularly consult with each other on growing issues, try to collaboratively provide education where it makes sense, increase student awareness that we are there for you. If you haven't had an opportunity to do so, please come check out our website, www.cupolice.cornell.edu. It contains much factual information about who we are as a law enforcement agency and describes our mission to serve the Cornell community. We have a long-standing reputation of holding ourselves accountable, proactively serving our community. We also have a brand new Facebook page, which I've set up, so any feedback, good or bad, feel free to send me, I can take it. I'm not a computer expert, but go to Cornell University Police on Facebook. You can link right to our page. I work on improving that, so please feel free to give me any feedback on that. Again, Mitch, I thank you for the invite, and thank you, Sermon, for inviting us, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, not related to criminal investigations, friends.
Hi, I'm Evan Corbin, grad student music. First, let me commend you and the fleet on the efforts to increase security on campus. A question. I noticed in one of the Sun reports that Chief Zoner mentioned that it's especially around issues of assault and sexual violence. A lot of what happens on campus isn't reported, especially in the case of rape. Most rapes that take place are not the kind that happened a week in the video, not the kind where you know, there's a stranger and there's a confrontation. Most rapes happen between people who know each other, yet many of these are not reported. I wonder if there are any kind of efforts going on behind the scenes, or maybe not behind the scenes, at the Cornell Police Department, encouraging people who've been victims of crimes like this to come forward, to know that this is a safe environment, to know that their complaints will be taken seriously, and that those who are committing these sorts of crimes will be held accountable in our community.
Well, I've received that question from the local media outlets as well, and we do encourage anybody who's been victim of any crime, especially any sexual assault or rape, to come forward. Police department, we like to work with the victims. So, you know, if we have a victim who maybe doesn't want to seek prosecution, please be aware of it for one preserving evidence, hate to change your mind down the line, or they want to have police to provide them some resources to help deal with it. We can do that. So, we encourage the community to move forward. And if you don't want to prosecute, that certainly is up to the victim. We want to work with the victim to do that. We also, instead of just taking them to court and directing people and prosecuting them, we're also a resource to the manager of a lot of different services in the community here at Cornell. I'll ask a question.
This is actually one of the feedback on that question, and specifically, is there, so remembering that with the initiation effort is about seizing the fraternity, it's not a big issue. I was wondering if there's a similar effort about rape or sexual violence on campus, where people, victims of these particular crimes, are educated that it's okay to come forward. What you're saying is that you're serious for them, and I really appreciate that. I just want to know if there's an education effort, because there is that sort of a psychological barrier between the victim and going to help in cases where they are familiar with the criminal.
The police department has a lot of awareness about rape and other crimes. So we don't have an individual effort on any crime in the police department. The university as a whole has had meetings. I believe, and somebody would correct me if I'm wrong, or most that are in the that does have some in their crime victim section. I've been on that. But it's good to be that. And I'll take that to our partners in the university and then we issue the start mission on dating violence.
There are different numbers of the separate groups, and we have all the other numbers.
you can call either number. The specific number for the airport service is 255-7373. That was right before 911. So our 911 operators, they can tell us the 911 call, but any other lines that we run up police all ring in one big room. So if you can answer with all the important for any other call that comes in. So the escort, we advertise from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. If you want to go later, call. If the escort is to our home, we'll announce the call.
And if I can add to that, the details on the escort service were in the emails that I'm sure all of you received from Vice Presidents Murphy and Opperman. I'm sure you all probably didn't read. They were long emails, but they are important ones. So if you do want to refer back to them, they have all the details about the hours and how to get a hold of it. If you have any concerns, do email me, and I can provide you that information too.
And we are kind of looking to stay up every morning on our escorts to see if there's an increase in the beginning change hours. And right now, we're staying right about the 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. range, and that's where I'm kind of staffing. But that doesn't mean it's 4 o'clock in the morning, especially grad students, you have all hours of the morning. 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 3 very welcome calls. And that's 255-7373, that's still the answer. If you forget that, if you have a general number, 255-1111, for the Red Bird Dispatch. Pick up a Blue Light phone. That Blue Light phone doesn't have to just use for escorts. It's escorts for small pieces of Blue Light phone. Blue Light phone is just coming off. It's the same down in our office. I just have to play your emergency phone. You can have anything. Dispatchers are needed, but they're fine.
Great. Thank you so much. Are there any other questions? Any quick questions?
My name's up there, my last name, Honan. That's my email, honan@cornell.edu. Drop me an email any day, buddy.
As a graduate student,
I think
all of us, some of us have things
that we're on campus. And there's always a situation
when I call them and they can't take me to where I
can
need me to go,
what
I need, how flexible
is there. There's a little bit of flexibility, of course, I can't walk to a left. It's just for me to get that done. If you go to our website, www.cupolice.cornell.edu, right on the campus watch. Everyone has a campus watch, and after the campus, that and after the campus watch is where we're going for the escorts. If you can't remember that, you don't have access to it here. Call and ask. If it's a little far, we'll tell you. But you don't know the audience.
Great, thank you again. So we'll move down. And again, if you have any further questions on this, please do email me. I think you know my email, but if you need it again, it's mcp235. Or email any of the exec board, and we can get more detail. So we'll keep moving down the list. Appropriations, Bill is not here, but his report and what he would say is later on in the agenda. Communications, I think I just saw Marcus head out.
Yeah, I think so.
He has to leave at 6 every time, so I don't think there was anything on his agenda. So we'll move further down to Vinay and the Finance Commission.
So,
go again. All right.
We're going to get our first meeting for October 2nd, as I mentioned last time, and we're still looking for officers to turn on the any of you registered, please do contact me. My email address can be read that address, but also DDD4 is the address. It has been brought to my attention that a lot of groups are interested in appealing their annual budget, the amount that are allocated to them in May by our commission. And formally, we don't recognize the appeal process anymore. This is sort of been phased out for the last few years. We don't have a formal appeal process anymore, even though the website does indicate that there is an appeal process. If you're interested in appealing, do contact me. What we do recommend is that you apply for what's called a special project request, which is an event. So if you can move on to the next slide, please. So the idea of these special project requests, and the form can be found on the website, on the GTSAFC website, address given down below. It's basically the supplement funding that was inadequate when you were writing annual funding. So you didn't receive all the money you asked for back in spring of last year, or this year, I guess, last semester, or you had specific events that have come up your group wants to host in the coming year. So the SPR specifies the request that we get additional funds over the amount that has been allocated to you. Or the supplement funding that you didn't receive. So if your annual budget weren't fully allocated for, you received less than the amount you wanted, perhaps the best thing to do is to apply for an SPR. And the way to do that is actually download a form, physically download a form, fill it out, and add it to Terry Edgar at the 520 School of Great Hall. The criteria for submitting SPR is that you have to have already filed a fill out an annual budget and submitted. You can't do this process unless your group had already filled out an annual budget back as early as last semester. You can continue to do so now. So if your group didn't fill out an annual budget and you aren't getting more money or some money, you can still do it. But you can't submit an SPR unless you had an annual budget submitted. Okay, so that's the criteria. And like I said, the form can be found on our website. If you do have to print this out and fill it in, we can move to the next slide, please. So this is just pointing out the website where you can find this actual form. It's a little small, my apologies for that. If you go to the GPSA website, SC website, the link on the right side says documents, and on the second page on the right it says apply for funds on the tab on the left side. So when you apply for funds there, you can click on that link. It will take you to a web page which has a link next. Right at the bottom, there's actually a link where you can download the SPR form if you want to do that in the next. This is an example of one of the groups that applied for money last year. This is just for your, just to see what kind of information you need. Okay, the more you can provide us, the better and easier to express it, giving the full amount that's in your question. So, for example, this is the Key Club, they wanted $355 last year. And they provided for us on the website, okay, they're having this cheese making workshop or whatever. And they list the amount of those expenses and the amount they're requesting from the GPSASC. So, if we go to the next slide, they also provide additional information about the specifics of that event. Okay, so, they break down the $355 into specific line items. Okay, so, that's what's important. The other important thing is the event details. Oftentimes, we reject these requests because we don't have enough information from you guys as far as the event details. Okay, when is this event happening? How many people are coming? Where is it going to be? Okay, if you have a speaker that you're planning to invite, well, we can invite speakers from outside of Toronto. Please provide the speaker's name, and if you can get an information email from them. Or if you have a ticket that's booked because you're paying for travel, his or her travel expense, provide that. So the more you give us in terms of information regarding specific events, the easier it is for us to actually review these applications as well as approve them. And if there's enough information, usually approve the format. Of course, given the time of the year. So if it's early in the year, we're more likely to get full amounts of your requests. If it's in April, at the end of the academic year, we probably not get full amounts. And so it really just depends on how much is available. Please provide as much information as you can. And, you know, no amount of information is too much. If you go to the next slide, so one other group has given a very detailed budget outline, right? So they have their funding sources on the left side, they've got their expenses on the right side. Okay, this is extremely detailed. Now, I can't remember what we gave them for a month, because they were asking for a lot. But it was a big event, and they're usually sold out, they sell tickets. And it's a very popular event. Okay, it's a musical event. So, if you submit something like this, you know, it's very difficult for us to ask questions about it. Right? Usually, you know, we'll give you as much as we can give you. If you go to the next slide, so we do have a limit in the SPR process. So $1,400 is what the limit is for a group for a day. If you do ask for substantial amounts of money, $1,000 and over, it's recommended that you attend one of our monthly meetings. And those monthly meetings are usually the first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8. If you need specific details about the rules and things like that, please email me. And I can send you details about how you can attend one of these meetings. And they're open for all, so you're welcome to attend. So please send me an email prior to your coming to the meeting so I can be prepared for it with your request. And I can tell you where you need, or if there's a room you can be moving around. If you have a large event and you have a large request for that event, you may want to team up with another group. And so both sponsorship is something that a lot of groups do for events that are large that need several thousand dollars of money for one event. And so we do recommend you teaming up with, you know, another group or more groups, and that way you can actually request more than $1,400, which is the limit for a certain group. There are deadlines, so we meet the first Tuesday of every month. So the deadline for the SPRC submitted to Rose Creek Hall is the Friday before the Tuesday, so it's 4 p.m. on Friday. Preceding the Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month. Okay. The only exception to that is January. We don't have any meetings in January. So besides that, we meet early in every month, Tuesday of every month, besides January. So I hopefully I've answered some of the questions that in your mind. I know some of you are planning to appeal your annual budget decision, as well as the other events coming up. Our first meeting is in October. If you have events that are happening before October, you can still send it to CNSDR. It's a forwarded area you should send it to. But October 2nd is coming up. But the earlier you can do this for events through the year, the better your chances of getting a full amount to do that for. If you wait till the last minute, you probably not going to get it. So I encourage you to apply as early as possible with as much as you can. And my email address for the group site, I can include it in the bottom of that.
Thank you. And I asked him mainly to give this little presentation because I know I've had quite a few groups ask me about this process, and this is enlightening for me as well. So are there any quick questions for Vinay?
Sure.
Please.
I know last meeting you talked about groups that have
Okay, physical science.
For
applied math. Can you send me an email? Because I know there are a couple of groups that you can email me yesterday.
Okay.
Asking the same question. Please send me an email. Because I'll contact that person. Send me that one. Send me the person.
Are you
going to
for people who
apply
for
it? If you receive that money, yes. You have to have that event with you guys.
Yeah.
You're supposed to advertise it publicly, yeah, recommend it. Yeah. But it's certainly open to guys.
Okay. Any further questions? Please, Matt? Great, thanks, Vinay. Appreciate it. Awesome. Now we'll move to Giovanna.
Yeah, so we had a recruitment meeting a week ago, and there are 15 members who are interested. So we have our first GPSA program board meeting on Friday at 11:30 in Plant Science Room 336. It was really interesting because we gave up, like, a lot of people are interested not only doing social events, but also in working with the well-being needs and doing things such as 5Ks or, like, sports, because they think, like, students are really interested in activities, like sports and activities, and also in charity, that to bring some sort of satisfaction to people. So doing stuff for charity, so we have a lot of good ideas to just in the sense in their fields they have ideas, so making it of like expanding those ideas to the whole university. It's really nice. And in 2 weeks we'll have our charter and our budget, which we will present to the whole assembly.
Okay, thanks.
It's in Plant Science, 336 and 11:30.
Great, thanks. Any further questions for Giovanna? Okay, thank you. Now we'll move on to Evgeny?
Hi guys, hello. Who are you for this show? My name is Evgeny. I'm the chair of the Student Action Committee. In preparation for today's meeting, we put together a pledge that we'll talk about later. That was a great opportunity to outline the rules that I think this committee, the Student Action Committee, will have for the year. If you could have the next slide. And I think we're going to have a really good year. We're going to organize a good number of events. And in the fall, we wanted to have an open town hall meeting. And so it's a really good year to have this kind of structure, I think, because one of the things we talk about all year round is the graduate community initiative. And a town hall meeting is a good opportunity not only to let students know about this, but also get their feedback. So we're going to work with, hopefully, this should be a place to spread the word about this, and also really get a lot of students and graduates to come out and tell us what they're thinking about and how we can help them. And so this whole thing will happen in the fall, so we'll have our first meeting, we have to start organizing this. And in the spring, I think we're going to check the follow-up of what happened last year, where we had a dining discuss event where we had a theme dinner in the Big Red Barn for about 65 graduate students. I think some of you might have been there. It was a really great event. So we can check all this sometime in February and basically go off the stuff we learned from the town hall meeting. I think we get a lot of information and making themes that emerge without a focus dinner, so we can really more actively engage students and see what they're really thinking. And you know, for me, coming up with last year, I think two themes that I really think are important are one, community building, so that graduate community initiative is a great time to think about that, but also diversity and inclusion. So there's two things that I think could be a theme, but I think as a committee we'll decide as we go along. And we'll definitely ask you to do that. So that is discussed in the spring. One thing that we definitely want to establish, because our main focus will not be on the qualified norms, especially what we focused on last year, we're going to create a subcommittee that will follow up on things that came out last year and kind of work through specifically on mental health and wellness throughout the year. So if you're interested in specifically that issue, there's going to be a subcommittee of the Student Advocacy Committee to definitely comment on it. I think we'll do a lot of good stuff. And I'm excited to hear the programming board thinking about this as well, so they're working with you guys. And something that I'm really excited about that I learned a little bit about this year is that we want to update the resource list. Now you might wonder, what is this resource list? Maybe you've seen it, but if you haven't, you can hit the next slide. If you go to the Cornell CPSA website, you go to resources, the second item down is called the student resource list. If you click on that, it will take you to the CPSA Student Advocacy Committee website, and then down there is a PDF link. If you click on that, and in the next slide, there it is. That's the first page of the student advocacy resource list. As you can see, we put together 2010, and it has so much great information. Basically, anything you want to know about who to get in touch with, it's there. Now, one thing we want to do is update it to make sure it's current and available and accessible. So the other thing is the first page, which has 10-page documents. We have a lot of resources, but I haven't been through all of it. It's long. So one of the goals, which is a little ambitious, is to make a one-page version for graduate professional students that looks really good, easy to have, and maybe we can somehow even email it or just give it to every graduate student that's coming in with the top resources that they should know about. You're here at Cornell, students should know about. So, that means we need to do a lot this year. I mean, we need a lot of diverse members. We need organizers, we need illustrators. If you want to make one pretty sheet, I don't know if that's an illustrator, but if you are, we need you. We need statisticians. We're going to have two big meetings where we're collecting a lot of data. So if you know how to evaluate student responses, come on out. And we need advocates. If you care about student issues, come on out. So, this is our first meeting. It's Wednesday, September 19th, so in a week and a half, 5 p.m., Big Red Barn. I'm going to grab a table on the first floor, so I call me Bell Ring or Bell or sign. So I hope that if you're interested, we're going to just have a committee assignment meeting soon. But if you're just interested, come on out. If you can't make it or you have any questions, email me at my email yi62. So, thanks.
Great, thanks. All right, now we will move to a report by Matt Holden, who is our representative to the Diamond Committee. We've prepared a little bit of an update for us.
Okay, so currently Cornell Dining doesn't have a graduate student meal plan. So in fact, I learned about this last year, I think it was Resolution 13, and I found out that we as graduate students, if we want to buy a Big Red Box, we have to pay a $50 administrative fee in order to get $250 worth of Big Red Box, and we'll learn why that makes absolutely no sense. So here were our options previously. Your options were pay cash or credit card, and pay cash at Cornell Dining locations or eat elsewhere, either in College Town or at some of the independent eateries on campus like Mandeville. I think Zeus is one of the other ones. But you have to pay tax there. And so the next meal plan option you could do as a graduate student is you could buy $250 or $500 in Big Red Bucks. If you do that, you get a tax-exempt discount on everything you buy as a student using your ID card, and you have to pay an administrative fee of $50 each year you enroll in the plan. And so the last option is to buy one of these large, expensive packages that are targeted towards undergrads because they live on campus, so that, you know, they have three meals or two meals a day on campus at all-you-can-eat eateries, and, you know, I think most of us don't feel like paying either the amount of money that's required to get into these all-you-can-eat eateries, or they're kind of far away. Most of them are north or west campus. There's one in Willard Street, but, yeah, so that can be inconvenient, since most of us live on campus. So, what's wrong with this? Well, the current Big Red Box plans are basically a ripoff. The discount of 0.08 times either $250 or $500 is less than the administrative fee, which means you are losing money by buying these plans. You're basically giving Cornell Dining just extra money. That plan really makes no sense for grad students, so I'm not sure why anyone would enroll in that. And it might be convenient to add things to your ID card if you were paying cash, so maybe there's a few people who enroll. And other plans are, you know, not very practical for students who live off campus. Most graduate students live off campus. Most of the eateries are on campus. And even if you're looking at Maplewood, I don't believe Maplewood has this dining hall. So even the students who do live in graduate student housing, they really can't practically use the undergrad targeted meals. So why do we care? Why not just eat elsewhere? Well, we could just eat elsewhere. I think a lot of people choose to do that. Of course, Mandeville has some really tasty and sustainable burritos that I like. But Cornell Dining is pretty convenient. Locations are all over campus, including the Big Red Bar. How many people know that Cornell Dining serves lunch at the Big Red Bar? So most people here, I think. So that's pretty convenient, right? Sort of a grad student location. Elsewhere, you have to pay tax. Cornell Dining pays its employees a sustainable, a livable wage. That can be said about a lot of restaurants. Not everybody is close enough to College Town in order to eat elsewhere. I know the engineering department and the law school is quite lucky with that. So we can move to the next slide. So here's a map of most of the Cornell Dining establishments. These are just the a la carte options on campus. So you can see you got, you know, you have the business school over here, you have like the engineering school over here. So you've got basically options pretty much all over campus, and this is what I was talking about when I said it's convenient. You even have a late night location over in this area if you're, let's say, working out at Noy. So a new plan, I've been working with Cornell Dining for pretty much all summer to try and put together a graduate student-friendly meal plan. So this is sort of the blueprint that we came up with. The idea is it would be a debit-based plan for these sort of a la carte establishments, but you could potentially use them in all of the prices as well, but you would be paying whatever amount it costs to be there. You put money on your ID card, there will be a minimum starting amount. I think as low as they go is $50, like, so you get the tax-free status to get that 8% discount, and you just add money to the plan whenever it runs out. And money, here's the one negative that I couldn't get Cornell to budge on. Money will expire at the end of the academic year, so you can't use it during the summer. There's a whole bunch of tax-related things going on there. But there will be a separate summer plan option. And then, if you go to the next slide, there will be a 5% discount in addition to the 8% tax discount at the Big Red Barn location, trying to sort of make it more of a graduate student-based eatery as opposed to one, like, during the day where it's sort of more focused on undergraduates. That's something that they're looking to maybe change. And the goal is to launch this plan this coming spring, if we can get it done by the end of September. So with that, I would like to ask you guys, what would you like to see included in the plan? Just feedback from you in general, because things are not set in stone yet. I'm still sort of working on this with them. So I'm just presenting this so we can get some more feedback.
I wonder if you talked to them about allowing graduate students to enroll in the Meal Choice Plan. The Meal Choice Plan is for faculty and staff, has no minimum balance, $6 lunches, 10% discount, and you're automatically enrolled. And you have the same issue. It works with a debit card. You can add money to it, and if you don't spend it all, you're fired. But like I say, no minimum balance, automatically enrolled, clear discount. Could we do that for grad students?
I did talk to them about that. Their general opinion there is that grad students eating at an all-you-can-eat place for $6 is pretty much put. And I was talking to one of the people who was put them out of business doing that, so I really couldn't break from that. But, maybe I'll look into talking about maybe trying to get some of those points across. Yeah, from the back.
Yeah, I really listened to you guys and experienced the hundreds of people on through most of it. From the city, after all these first things here in the CDF, and maybe streamlined the
process. I'm not sure. I think that's not Cornell Dining.
It's not Cornell Dining. Actually, there's like a switch that happens around 2 when they stop serving food, and it switches to being the Big Red Barn staff. So all of the beer is Big Red Barn staff, and then Cornell Dining does the food during the middle of the day.
Right. So this meal plan would only be for Cornell Dining establishment. So it also would work at like things like Mandible and Zoo in those locations. They're not Cornell.
You'd ask if you can, right?
Any blowback from the undergraduate population when they find out that they get a discount at the Red Barn?
So the really big expensive plans for undergrads are eating two or three meals a day on campus because they're eating so much from Cornell Dining. Their discount actually trumps the small $50 administrative fee. It's just because our plans would only be Big Red Buck are small enough that the administrative fee is actually larger than the discount.
And also just to chime in, with the Resolution 13 that passed last year, there is now the Big Red Barn Advisory Board, which explicitly doesn't include undergraduate students, but part of that is about managing our own student unions. So anyone who's interested in being a part of that is encouraged to apply. Big Red Barn Advisory Board.
And so note that this is independent of Resolution 13. Doesn't mean that now that the grad student meal plan that Resolution 13 is from the side or something like that. Everything that we heard about from Resolution 13 is still, I assume, on the table. This has nothing to do with that. This is just trying to be more equitable with our meal plan options. Any other feedback or questions?
Great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for serving on the committee. Mm-hmm. Great. All right, given we only have 30 minutes left and 45 minutes of allowed time, we're going to try to move through this. Next is the approval of the bylaws, which Eric has introduced, because this is part of his responsibility, so I'll let Eric introduce the changes.
Okay, so I trust everyone got emails from Friday outlining our resolution, and so it should be pretty straightforward. Nothing major. But each year, we're charged with updating these bylaws and political changes from all of the committee chairs.
Word.
And so we have to start off with an amendment with this little word right here, because that was not included in the document that we emailed out to you.
And we'll take care of that in the discussion. This is preemptive. My apologies. But continue.
Okay, so just going through these quickly. The first is inserting a new section into the executive committee portion of the bylaws. And that is to reflect our new relationship as members of the National Association of Regular and Professional Students. And so, also in this section, we select and coordinate representatives to go to the Ivy Summit. And so this is just saying that this is also part of our responsibility going forward in the future. And so, that's clause one. And then two is 2, 3, 4, and actually 5 are all under the Student Advocacy Committee section. And this is just really a name change from the Graduate Professional Student Resource List to UDSA, Student Advocacy Resource List. Next is reflecting that change as well. The next one is from Yevgeny, and this was about not stating that all of the meetings will be town hall, but this is a way to, you know, possibly have a different sort of meeting. And this is also part of that lower document. And so 6 and 7 are part of the programming board section. And this is correcting an error that was referencing the GDSA chart. And so this is just correcting that typo.
And last, this is just saying that this striking city was the governing language for the programming board, and what this is doing is just allowing them to maintain their own charter and rules and their own budget.
And so just to, if I can expand on that, that's because they are now a byline funded group. And so what remains in the bylaws, if anyone's curious to see, we can bring that up. What remains in the bylaws is the coordination of the leaders and how often they have to meet. And then this replaces the sections that talk about committee structure and committee responsibilities and replaces it, indicating that someone should go look at their charter, which I believe Giovanna and Kristen are going to bring up at a further meeting. So those are the changes that have been proposed. And so now we're going to open it for discussion. If there are any amendments, comments on this, it would be great. Please keep in mind we do have one more resolution, which is the budget, and we have now about 25 minutes.
I guess I'll formally propose the amendment that the word be added as specified.
And because that is how I deem a minor change, is there any objection to adding the word be in there? Seeing none, the motion is amended as such. Is there further discussion? Thank you. Is there any further discussion on this?
Is there another subject for agreement somewhere else?
In the budget.
Oh,
great. is there any objection to calling the question and taking a vote on this resolution number 2? Seeing none, we will now vote. Those with green placards, please raise them when I call for the vote. All in favor of passing Resolution 1, please raise your... Resolution 2, I'm sorry, please raise your green placard. All opposed? Great. The motion passes. Now we officially have adopted our bylaws and can continue to operate. next, we'll move on to the approval of our budget, which we have, Bill has put together and delegated now to me to present to you, and we've worked with the various committee chairs on this. So I'm going to quickly take you through each of the committees and what they've requested, and you'll notice at the bottom, I've just put in there the change from the previous year's request. Also keep in mind that a substantial portion of our revenue has been essentially re-diverted to the programming board through the byline funding, and so we have a less request, a lesser budget, if you will, overall than we did last year. And so some of these you'll see substantial changes, but it's because we have shifted the way the budget works this year. So first of all, communications is fairly similar to last year. There haven't been any major changes. We have, Marcus has spent a little bit for the orientation, so that is fairly self-explanatory. The next one is appropriations, and Bill has just requested that we remove the line item that talks about, or that gives money to printouts, because we're not doing anything that would require that this year, so he's eliminated $150. Next, last year we did not ask for food for the Ops and Staffing Committee, and this committee meets once to determine the composition of the rest of the committees, and so Eric has asked for $50 for food for this meeting, an increase of $50. Next is the executive, and the probably most substantial change. In the award ceremony, we've added $250 to that from the previous $500, and that's based on the actual expenses that we made for it. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that, the award ceremony is we do at the end of the year for faculty, for advising graduate students, and we'll talk more about that as the year goes along. Great event. I commend to the people who worked on it last year. The Ivy Summit Discretionary is to fund the trip of our members down to Pennsylvania this year. That's from in and change. The savings for the next Ivy Summit is something that we do every year. We put in $1,000. It adds to our reserve for when we plan the Ivy Summit and when we hold it in 2018. And so we allocate $1,000 each year. Printouts has remained the same. Assemblies clerk has remained the same. Room rentals the same. Assembly meeting food we've increased by about $400 to reflect how much we spent last year. And this will hopefully allow us to have interspersed our pizza meals with a bit more healthier options, which are substantially more expensive and often run 50 to 60% more. So this, again, reflects what we spent last year, and I hope that will allow us to have some great options this year. Postage, we've reduced to $50 from $200. The Area Summit funding has remained the same, and the NAGPS membership I asked for on behalf of the executive committee, $300 more, because I at least will be attending that. And so that comes to an increase that we've asked for of $840. And that's the executive committee. Next is the finance commission. Vinay has requested, slash accepted, just a lesser reduction in food for the meetings. That's all of that. But that comes to the funding day refers to when they have a mass look over every budget request and there's food at that meeting. And so that refers to the student advocacy is another substantial change. This reflects last year's great success that Yevgeny mentioned in his report on the Dine and Discuss event. We've decided that it is an important piece of what the Student Advocacy Committee does, and we and the Student Advocacy Committee think that we should fund part of this. Last year it was entirely funded by the graduate school, and we're hoping this year that we can contribute some and hope that the graduate school will keep this partnership going. And so he's asked for $750 more for that, and that reflects the change from the previous year. And lastly is the summary of all of the expenditures that are requested. Essentially, we have requested everything but $13. so we have a budget surplus of $13. Hopefully that's not a bad sign, because that's an unlucky number. The total revenue, as you'll see here, is... We can only budget up to 95% of what we project to receive, given that some students may drop out and just the errors that be. So Bill has indicated that our total revenue is $11,913, and we had requested from the body to allocate us $11,900. And so it puts us in budget, barely, and Bill is very happy about that. You'll see at the bottom part of this table, this is our cash balance that we have carried over from last year. The $3,000 indicates the savings that we've accrued for the Ivy Summit, and that's essentially money we can't touch. And so essentially our rollover that we project for next year is $10,644, and we will discuss this money. Essentially is our free cash that we can use, but hopefully we'll not use too much of. We will discuss that later on. So This is a summary of the attached budget sheet that was sent to all of you on Friday. And so this, the resolution, as you'll see, is just a two-liner that says, be it resolved that the body approves this as our requested expenditure. So that being said, this is what we're requesting, $11,900. And now I will open it up for discussion. Is there any discussion? Nicole, throw your hand first.
I was just going to say that, I would like to speak in support of this resolution, but given the transition of the programming board to being essentially independent financially from the GPSA, it's really good to see our internal operations budget, the GPSA's internal operations budget, actually come down to our internal operations. It used to be the case that basically 50% of the GPSA's budget, I think, went to the programming board, so it was going to fund other events. So I think that's great to see that reflected in that now. And I just think it's,
if anyone has any complaints about the amount of food being purchased using this money, I would say that that's the biggest way we have to entice not only you as GPSA members to come, but also to do all the outreach efforts that I think people are talking about. And I think that's really great. So,
Evan, you're next.
I was just going to add one thing for the sake of
completeness,
not so much related to the budget, but the other 5%. Of that 95% does come eventually, it comes in the spring. And so that will contribute to the projected rollover. So I suppose what I'm saying is to make the lives of the folks next year easier or build lives easier in the spring, it might be worth adding a line in the spreadsheet that you know, projects what that number is going to be so as to have the most accurate cash flow possible. I should say that, I should have said that second. What I should have said first is, let me commend Bill, who's not here, and Mitch and everybody else who worked on this, on perhaps the clearest budget document I've ever seen. I know some of that has to do with the change in the way the accounting work, but finally, after years, we have a clear financial picture of where the GPSA is, how much money we have in the bank, how much money we expect to take in, and how much money we expect to spend. Now,
all everybody has to do is stand up. Any
further discussion? I can ramble on one more quick thing.
Evan, please.
The way that this traditionally works is that the committee asks for money for a particular line item, but are only found by the total amount. So say it turns out they ask for $100 for postage and $200 for food. Say it turns out they spent $180 on food and $120 on postage. No problem. They're still within that $300 allocation. Where committee chairs are bound to come back to the GPSA and amend this document is if they proceed and start going over that total request. Because as you can see, this is a balanced budget. If somebody goes over budget, then that means that the budget number is in debt. So it's important for the whole of them to be involved in that discussion.
Please, Nicole.
Is there anyone else? I was just going to say that maybe we can amend the budget, as I guess to propose an amendment to essentially reflect what Evan was saying about the 5% projected cash flow coming in the spring.
I'm not sure when that comes. I think it comes in April or May or something. What they do is they estimate the total based on estimated enrollment from the previous year financial report. And then what they do is they give you any remaining balance based on actual enrollment, which is determined 6 weeks into each semester. And that is done through lump sum payment in the spring. It's really frightening that I know that.
No, do get involved.
I mentioned that the GPSA will get the remaining 5%. Don't get involved. And that goes for any other group. Actually, that's made for some special programming for it because they're doing a budget based on 95% of their income because they don't have the other 5% because they didn't have any money.
So, did I hear you move that?
Yes, I'd like to propose an amendment to the actual budget document that includes that in the line as the projected, projected cash flow for the spring. Yes.
Maybe something like instead of total revenue, you could say something like initial GPSAF transfer, project 95%, 6815 times that same number, and then something else, something like final GPSAF transfer, project 5% of 6815 times 144.
I'm going to, if you don't mind, consider that your part of your amendment. Do I hear a second?
Wait, do you get to?
Thank you for being here.
Aren't you our parliamentarian?
No, he's your parliamentarian.
Okay, he's the parliamentarian. Okay.
Order. Okay, Trevini seconded. And is there any discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, is there any opposition to calling the question on this amendment and voting? Great. All those in favor, please, of this amendment that Nicole Evan has outlined, which essentially adds the description of this 5%. Please raise your green placard. 2, 3, 4. Great. All opposed? Fantastic. The amendment passes, and the resolution is so amended. And again, I will make that change on the final document. I would also allow an amendment to change in the spreadsheet that was sent out. There is a spelling mistake. It says category instead of category. So I would entertain an amendment that changes that.
So moved.
Thank you, Nicole. Is there any opposition, given that that's a small change? Is there any opposition to that? Great, thank you. I will make that amendment. Now we resume further discussion on this amended resolution. Please, Liz.
I move to call a question.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Fantastic.
Just a point of information about what evidence can I throw out?
Please.
So you mentioned that we could apply for more funding, or you mentioned there'll be this chair to apply for more funding later on, and then it has to be amended. How does that process happen? Do you have your resolution?
Yeah. I'm going to refer that to Evan.
Yeah. When we amended the bylaws last spring, reflect the appropriation committee role. There is language in there that said it's basically what I just said, you have freedom within that total allocation. But if you are going to exceed that allocation, then you have to come back to the GTSA and you have to accept it's a resolution for amending the allocation. And we take this document and we ask for another $300. You don't need to have a resolution amending the budget if you're projecting that you'll come in under budget. And it just
Great. Thank you, Evan. So we're going to go back to the motion to call the question. All in favor of calling the question, please say aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you. All opposed, say nay. Fantastic. I don't want to count the cards. So we are now voting on the amended Resolution 3, which is what you've seen and what you've been emailed, plus the 5%. All those in favor of Resolution 3, please raise your green placard. Fantastic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 16. All opposed, please raise your green placard. All right. The resolution adopting our budget for this academic year passes. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Now we move to open forum. Is there anyone who would like to speak in open forum? Eric?
A minor thing? Yeah, well, medium question. But please, if you haven't yet and you're interested in serving on a committee, you can visit the website there and fill out the questionnaire. It will take you, I promise, less than 2 minutes to fill out the questionnaire. And that will help us place you in a committee. We're shooting to have that meeting where we place people next week.
And what's the deadline to apply?
The deadline is Friday.
This Friday.
Sunday.
Coming Friday.
Sunday, September 16th.
Is it Sunday?
You
have to
be here. Yes.
Great. And we also encourage you all to talk to your representatives in your field. And just tell them to go to committees.cornellgpsa.com. Nicole and Marcus have put together a list of committees with descriptions, and there's an application there. So please encourage your colleagues to go visit that. Is there anyone else in open forum? Fantastic. Eric? Fantastic.
Second.
Is there any objection to adjourning the meeting? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. 10 minutes early.
Whoa, look at that. Not controversial. Okay.
Sweet. And I think my computer is on. Yeah.
Good day.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.